Turn me in your Bible to the book of 1 John. 1 John, the 5th chapter. Turn me in your Bible to the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter. And if this is your first time here, we are a teaching ministry. And so you're going to hear some things over and over again until you get it. Amen. Like one guy said, they had a new pastor, and they said to the new pastor, you know, what a great job he did on Sunday morning. He invited the people to come back on Sunday night. He taught the same message on Sunday night. Then they came back on Wednesday. He taught the same message on Wednesday. Then they came back on next Sunday. He taught the same message. For the next 3 or 4 months, he taught the same message. Then they went and complained to the deacons and said to the deacons, you know, something the matter with the pastor. He only know one message. So they went to the pastor and said, Pastor, people are complaining about you teaching the same message over and over again. Do you know anything else? He said, absolutely. I know a whole lot more. But he said, why should I teach them something new when they haven't done what they first been taught? Okay. All right. Okay. So turn to me in John, 1 John, the 5th chapter. We've been teaching about the area concerning the area of speaking to your mountain. Somebody say, speaking to your mountain.
Speaking to your mountain.
Now, when we read out of the book of Mark 11:23, and it says that for us to speak to the mountain, Mark 11:23 says, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this, what? Mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he what? Saith shall come to what? Pass. He or she shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, you know, this who's saying this word? Jesus spoke the word. And Jesus is his remarks, and he said, you need to learn a principle, and this whole kingdom of God operates according to principles. So Jesus said here's a principle that will cause some supernatural things to happen for you. Back on the wall here, our theme for this year is the supernatural outpouring from heaven, or to have faith in the supernatural. Say that. Have faith in the supernatural. Say it like you ain't scared. To have faith in the supernatural. God is a supernatural God. And a supernatural God likes doing what? This is the smartest class I've been in all day today. Likes doing supernatural things. Now, what's happening with a lot of churches and Christian people in general have pushed God or the supernatural part out of God. But you can't really separate God from the supernatural. God is a supernatural God. Now, it might not be happening in your life because you're not believing for it. But there are some things that you would amaze you what God is doing for other people that are believing. And I just want you to know I am a believer and not a doubter. Do I got any other believers in here today? I'm a believer and I believe in God's supernatural miracle working power for whatever it is in this area. So I have a friend, and he was testifying, and Brendan and I were listening to him as he was testifying about his daughter. And he said that his daughter, you know, his only child, she came up with this disease that had all these growths on her body. Things start growing in the body, then it would bust and blood and stuff come out of them, and it were all on the body. She's just a kid, but she got all this. Then she had a bad leg that caused her to be, physical challenges because of this bad leg. And her skin, she had some kind of other skin disease that caused her skin to get real hard and crack. And her hands, he said they were the most ugliest hands he ever seen in his life, was his daughter. But he's a man of God, and he's praying for his daughter, for her deliverance. Come on, y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, any parent worth their salt is going to pray for their child. Is that right? He said, watch, listen to this here. For 5 years, how many years?
Five.
5 years, day and night, he prayed for his daughter's deliverance, praying for her to be healed from this plague, these growths, this skin disease, this messed up leg. And she's in high school. 5 years he prayed for her, and nothing ever happened. He said he just fell on his face and cried out, God, why is it? What's happening? How come my daughter's not being healed? I'm living right. I'm doing this. I'm doing everything. And he said in the few hours that he had left in his time, he said, God spoke to him and said, because I've never asked you to pray for something that I've given you authority over. See, a lot of time we put prayer over everything. But see, Jesus said, I've given you authority over every demon, over every spirit, everything out there. And sometimes we will pray over something that we need to take authority to or to speak to. So Jesus said, speak to the mountain. So what is the mountain? The mountain is anything that is in your way that is trying to hinder you from being able to keep your family together, have a successful marriage, feel coming against your health, anything that is a negative thing in life, it's got to go. Come on, I'm talking to this, it's got to go. That mountain has to go. And so his daughter got healed. He said, and watch this here. He started speaking to it. He started commanding the growths to die and to dry up. He started commanding the skin to be made new. Her leg to be straightened out. You know what he said? He started doing it, but he didn't see nothing change. And it wasn't until like the 40th day. See, because that's where steadfastness comes in. That's where we fight the good fight of faith. We fight. Faith is a fight. Faith. It's, you got to fight. So he had to keep speaking. He knew that God had spoken to him. And he said, speak to that mountain, speak to that thing. And as he did it, he said it was 40 days. Listen to me. And on the 40th day, she was in her bedroom cleaning her and putting her dresses up and doing things. And all them growths started falling off of her. Her skin started changing and her legs started straightening out. Woo, somebody help me out right now. On that 40th day, everything started changing. But see, he had to keep fighting the good fight of faith. He had to keep standing there, though he saw nothing changing on the outside right now. But he knew it was God's word for him to speak to that thing, command it, curse it, command it to leave. And when he did, on the 40th day, everything changed. Well, how many know 40 days is a lot less than 5 years?
You know, while you were listening to him, I was ear hustling. In other words, while he was listening, I was listening too. He didn't know I was paying attention to what he was sharing. but the pastor or the preacher was saying he's a worshiper. He was a worshiper. And he knew even after he spoke to that mountain, he had to do something between the time he believed and the time he actually received.
There you go.
And see, that's where a lot of people get mixed up because they're not in the presence of the Lord. They're not in a knowing that he, you know, as the praise and worship and the choir was going forth, you know, it's just, we didn't hardly want to come out of it because it's the presence of the Lord, because we're saying you're worthy of it all.
Yes.
Even, you know, there's a song that said, don't wait till the battle is over. I'm going to shout now. So he's kind of like in a position like, I just know you're worthy, Lord. I trust you and you're worthy. You know, he had his own worship. But to me, while we were in our worship, it was like these are the kind of areas, this is the kind of atmosphere you set between the time you believe, the time you speak it out. You need to be in a prayer, in a praise atmosphere. Lord, you're worthy of it all. And as they were singing, he's worthy of it all. You know, you're worthy to be bowed down and glorified. And then they went to another level and they said, and I exalt thee. I exalt thee, Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. So he was saying he stayed in worship, and it's so important while you're believing for certain things for God, from God. You've already spoken out, but there's an enemy that's shooting you all kind of doubts and unbelief on day one, day two, day three. You know, but if you're in worship and you're praising him for who he is and what he has done already and that he is worthy to be praised, see, you got to know him to be able to do that. You got to know what the presence of God will do for you. See, I know what praising Him does. And I love that presence that He brings when I'm just in His presence and I'm worshiping Him and I'm singing songs, and it just comes out of your inside. And that's what He was saying that He was doing.
And Jesus, when Jesus was getting ready to perform a miracle when Lazarus had died, and He came there 4 days later after He was dead. They had already buried Him, did all the burial preparation, and now He's in a tomb. And when He goes and decides this is the time, right. Martha then says, by this time, He stinketh.
Right.
Well, can I ask a question? What does stinking got to do with raising somebody from the dead? Amen. Jesus is getting ready to do a miracle, but see, what happened is people were, a lot of time, will start attacking you with doubt and unbelief.
Yeah, keep
it. Okay, I need two more people with doubt and unbelief that would attack you from believing the word of God. Jesus, they said, by this time He's stinking. And Jesus said, it don't have nothing to do with it. He said, what did He say? Roll away the stone. Then he, what did He do? He commanded Lazarus to come forth out of there, out of that area. And God did a supernatural miracle and raised Lazarus after 4 days of being dead, raised him from the dead. But what happened there though? Jesus did something that was supernatural because He was speaking to the mountain, but He also was giving worship. He said, He raised His hand and said, Father, I thank You that You always hear me. I know that You hear me. I know when I pray, I know it's already done. He says that they may believe. Look what He says. I knew that Thou hearest me how often? Always. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything in His name, we know that He hears us. And since we know He hears us, we know we have the petition that we desire of Him. That's 1 John 5:14-15. But here, right here it says, and He knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people would stand by, I say it, that they may what?
Believe
that Thou hast sent me.
Yeah.
See, God wants to do something supernatural in your life. I'm on the wrong side.
Amen.
God wants to do something supernatural in your lives. And listen to me. And He wants to do something supernatural in somebody else's life that you are around.
Yes.
But what God needs is somebody who will live and walk by
faith
and not by sight. Because the enemy will war you to try to keep you from stepping out into the supernatural where God is. Are you with me? But my worship.
Yeah.
Somebody say it.
My worship.
It's my worship. Come on, just for a minute. Father, we just worship You. We honor You. We love You, Lord Jesus. You be exalted and magnified. Whatever you're dealing with today, whatever going on in your life, no matter what that mountain might be, Father, we worship You. We thank You that You got it under control. We thank You that it will not prevail. We worship You because You hear us. We know that You hear us, and we thank You that we have that desire. We praise You and thank You for Your miracle working power this day. On the behalf of everyone in here, in the name of Jesus, thank You for it now. Thank You for it now. I'm going off just for a minute, a second. I was listening to Andrew Womack, and I didn't know that his son had died. If you know who he is, his son had died, and he said that his other son called him and said, whatever his name is, Billy or some, died, and. And Andrew Womack said, don't say that no more.
Amen.
He said, it's going to take me 2 hours to get there. I'll be there within 3 hours from the time of that. We got there, everybody's crying, talking about that he's dead. He said, no, he's not dead. He's alive. He'll live. He said that they had to fight the spirit, come on, of doubt and unbelief. Fight that spirit that will cause you to make you want to just give up. Walked into the room. And he just said his son is laying there, and now it's almost 5 hours dead. But he said he just went in there praising God and started thanking God and speaking to his dead body, and he rose up from the dead right there in front of everybody. And everybody, verse, if you believe it or not, he rose up from the dead. This is Andrew Womack's testimony of how God raised his son from the dead after 5 hours. See, we put limitations on God and we hinder God's power from working on our behalf. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, but not me. I don't know about you, but not me. Tell him, I don't know about you, but not me.
Amen. And Andrew Womack, and of course, as we read the scriptures, it's important. In Daniel, I believe it is, it says that they that know their God.
Yeah. Shall do mighty exploits.
Are strong, yeah. And they do exploit.
Right.
We're teaching you to the word of God so you can know him. Andrew knew something came inside of him when he heard it. It was just some kind of a knowing in here that God was going to work a miracle on his behalf, because he could hear from God. He had faith in a God that could do what he couldn't do. See, if he had just tried to did, okay, just hold off. I'm going to be there and I'm going to raise him. That wasn't it. He had faith in God. Over the years, he had built up. See, we're trying to encourage you, each one of you, start where you are and just build your faith. Get to know the God. You know, believe in the God who believes in you. Get to
right.
know him through this word. This is what we're teaching you in this ninth month. Can y'all believe the ninth month of 2017? We're already in this 9 months. So this is where we're trying to build you up. Before this year gets out of here, he wants to put his super on your natural. He wants to do it, but he wants you to build your faith. Know that he has this for you, and walk in it, as we're seeing happening in other believers.
So look with me in 1 John 5 and verse 4, because we do need to read another scripture.
We do, huh?
Okay. And so it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the what?
The world.
Come on, let's try it again. Whatsoever is born of what?
God.
Overcometh the what?
The world.
The world. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, whatsoever overcometh the world, or overcometh, whatever is it, born of God, overcometh the world.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them that. Whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now the world represents, again, those mountains, those things that arise up in your life. How many of y'all ever had a mountain rise up in your life? Well, what about here? Have anybody ever had a mountain range rise up in your life? A whole mountain range. Man, it wasn't just like one mountain, it was mountains that you got to fight off. You know what I mean? But it says here, whosoever is born of God. Anybody in here born of God today? Then Nikki says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, or the system, or the mountains that come against you. And this is the victory. And this is the what?
Victory
that overcometh the what? The world, even our faith. What overcomes your mountain? Or what overcomes the world? Even our faith. So what is the thing that the enemy is going to attack you the most in to try to keep you from being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Is to attack your faith wall. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, it says, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from faith to faith. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So God reveals, somebody say reveal.
Reveal.
God reveals his power, his presence through faith. So when you became born again, you have faith, okay? Now you just need to start developing your faith. You need to mature your faith. You gotta work your faith. And faith is not faith in your life. Some people say, I got faith, but they never do anything with it. There's people that come here, you've been here, but then you gotta go out and exercise your faith. Like Brenda just said, you gotta maybe take some baby steps in your faith, but do something to keep your faith at least moving what?
Forward.
So if you listen to me, some of you might need to believe for a hubcap. You know what happened? I was at the Loomis campus this morning, and I made a mention about a hubcap. As soon as I got out there, a guy had his car parked out there and said, this is what I'm believing for, my hubcap. It had flew off on him, and he wanted his hubcap back. I'm okay. All right. Some of y'all might need tires.
Amen.
Or listen to me, or you could, I mean, there's different things. Whatever it is that you believe in God for, listen to me, start using your faith to believe God for it. And then start making steps. Don't try to believe for the bigger, greater thing. Start looking and using your faith. Then you can find out where you are, okay?
Right. And in that 17th verse, Romans 1:17, it says, therein in the gospel is talking about, and therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed
right.
from faith to faith. There's right. scriptures all throughout the Bible that you will see his righteousness being revealed, him teaching you how to live. See, there's no need of me trying to speak to my mountain when I'm not standing on the word of God. I don't know what the word of God says, so I'm out here trying to tell this mountain to move, and I don't know what the word of God says. If he says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, then that's what I'm standing on. So when I speak to the mountain, no, Satan, you're a liar. God has already took and bore my sicknesses. He's already carried my sorrows and my pain, and I am standing on the word of God. See, what happens when you stand on the word of God, you've got to come against all those experiences that you possibly had in your past.
Yeah.
You got to come against all those thoughts that the enemy comes to you and said, well, it didn't happen for them, and they were good people. And they believed, and they didn't. You can't worry about what other people did or did not do. The righteousness is revealed to you from faith to faith.
Yeah.
You have to put your confidence in the word of God. In the word of God. The word of God will just bring, it'll become revealed to you. It's like, okay, this is what God is saying. And yes, I'm driving around on these bald tires. And I need some more tires. Well, he said, I'll supply all of your needs. He don't want you riding around on some tires that's getting ready to blow up. You're going to be on the side of the road. So this is he wants you to have this. So if you got the confidence in his word, this is according to his will. It's his will that I have this. You're standing on the word.
And I just had a lady not that long ago said she heard us talking about this. She said her tires were bald. She had to get to work, and she was crying because she didn't have the money. So she said, but she felt the Lord just told her, go in there and tell them, see if they can work a deal with you, get the tires.
Exactly.
While they were working on the tires, the man came and said, ma'am, the Lord told me just to sow it into you.
Wow.
So she got all these brand new tires, supernaturally. But she had to hear God's voice and obey it, and at least start believing, you know?
Right. And that's how it's revealed, from faith to faith. Did you get a victory over here? This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith.
So look with me in your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And all of us know the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter is the what chapter?
The love chapter.
The love chapter. But look what it says here in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and on the love chapter in verse 2. And it says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all what?
Faith.
Look what it says. And though I have all faith, look what it says. So that I could remove mountains. Look what it says. Here in the love chapter, he's talking about, even though I have all this faith that I could remove mountains, because that's what faith is about. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's about helping to remove the obstacles, the challenges, the attacks that come against you in your interpersonal relationship, or the mountain that you might have in your own self with some anger or low self-esteem yeah. issues. You know, there's some things that the enemy is attacking you. That is a mountain.
Yes, it is.
And he said, now you, though I have faith so I can move all mountain. See, you got to understand that faith has to be a priority in your life. Why? Because God said, he said, you can't even please him without what?
Without faith.
Without faith. Without faith, he said, we fight the good fight of faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith is not the only message. But I'm just telling you something, it's one of the most important messages for a believer to learn how to live, and then you got to develop that faith. You got to work at it.